Psalm 23. When I hear this passage, I am reminded of a former teacher. When I was in school, he said, you might want to memorize this psalm. He said, when I was a young preacher, he said, I made a hospital visit one day. The older sister who was in the hospital bed said, preacher, I'd like you to recite for me Psalm 23. He wasn't prepared for that request. He stumbled, he fumbled, he finally got through it, and the sister said, that's a little shorter than I remember. Maybe you know that David is believed to have offered Psalm 23. But as you think about Psalm 23 and David, have you ever wondered when in David's life was this psalm authored? You see, as we look at David's life, we can find four distinct periods. There was, of course, the formative period. This is when he was growing up, the time when he was a shepherd. The second period would be the time when he was a fugitive. That begins in about 1 Samuel chapter 18 and goes through 1 Samuel chapter 30. There is the third period where he was the triumphant king. That would go from 2 Samuel chapter 1 through 2 Samuel chapter 10. And then we have period 4 that might be called a king in crisis. The involvement with Bathsheba and events following that. 2 Samuel chapter 11 through 2 Samuel chapter 24. Psalm 23 had to be written during one of these four periods. So the question is, which period did David write this psalm in? Well, it's certainly possible that David wrote this psalm in his later years. I like to think that it's possible and maybe more likely that David wrote this psalm in that first period, as he's a young man, as he's a shepherd, as he's thinking about God and contemplating spiritual truths. Now, I can't prove that, but for our purposes today, I'm going to be thinking about this psalm from the standpoint of a young man. There are, as Michael read for us, just 6 verses in this psalm. And I want to, in this lesson, highlight some of what David had to say. Let's go back to that first verse. Psalm 23, verse 1. Jehovah, or some translations would say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now we've come to a time of year when the opening verse in Psalm 23 is very appropriate. So-called Black Friday is on the horizon. If you follow some of the news stories that are out, you've probably seen some of the early deals announced. Maybe you've seen some of the sale flyers. Maybe you have gotten some information in an email or somebody's texted you some information. Others are thinking about Christmas and the gifts that they may want this year. In the latter 2 months of every year, November and December, it is not uncommon for people to say, I want, and then you can just fill in the blank. David may not have had all the items in life that he could imagine. There were surely some things that he saw in the lives of others, that as he had a chance to look and see what others had, he might have thought, well, I would enjoy having those things too. But as we look at Psalm 23 and verse 1, we find that this man, whatever period of life he was in, he'd found contentment. He was able to say, I shall not want. This morning, especially as we think about this time of year when we are inundated with consumerism, can we also say, I shall not want? Now we might be looking at something that we think from Black Friday that we would really enjoy. We might be hoping that when Christmas time comes, that if we're in the area of a tree and there are some wrapped Christmas gifts, that we're going to receive a particular gift. But can we really, as we look at our lives, step back and say, because of what I have in the spiritual realm, I shall not want. I'm content. For a lot of people, the answer to that question is no. Some want. And they want some more. And they want some more. And some more. And some more. And the want just never is satisfied. I was, I guess, on the one hand surprised, not so much on the other. But a few days ago, I saw an article which talked about the fact, and this is especially true for people in the millennial years, but others are also guilty. This article talked about the fact that there are people, a lot of people, who are still trying to pay off the Christmas gifts that they purchased in 2016. Still trying to pay off the Christmas gifts that they bought last year. Taken almost a year, and who knows how much more time, to pay off the Christmas gifts because they wanted maybe one thing that was really expensive or they wanted multiple items. In Matthew 16, verse 26, you may remember that well-known passage by Jesus. He used some startling language. He said, if we want the whole world, we might be able to gain the whole world, but even if we did that and lose our own soul, it's not going to profit us anything. If we let our minds be filled with that lack of contentment, we want and want and want. Jesus makes it clear in multiple places that the end result is going to be great unhappiness. Another passage, this one by Paul in the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. Paul there talked about the fact that our mind can be set on the things of this world. And if that choice is made, if we decide to set our mind on the things of this world, and that's where our wants, and that's where our goals, and that's where our hopes, and that's where our desires are, if it's the earthly things that we're trying to acquire, Jesus warned in very clear terms, Luke chapter 8 and verse 14, that that type of life will literally choke out, it will kill the Word of God in our life. Paul said, if we have godliness, and that godliness is mixed with contentment, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6, it is great gain. When we think about contentment, it's possible. But as we look at our society from almost any angle, our culture feeds us a steady diet of dissatisfaction. We're told that there are always new places, fun-filled places, places that we've not yet been, or things that we've not yet seen that we need to see, places where we need to go. There's always something that's newer, stronger, better, faster, and more exciting. And that's the item that we need to have. David, though, Psalm 23 and verse 1, perhaps early in life, was someone who found contentment. As you look at that statement, that opening point, you have to ask the question, why was David content? Was he some hick? Was he out there in the hills and he didn't know any better? Was he ignorant of his world? Was it because he was sheltered and he didn't have access to a lot of other things that people had access, and that's why he was content? You see, getting more and more stuff is not the secret to contentment. If that were true, America should have some of the most contented people on the earth. Maybe your home, or you can go into some homes where people have almost every room filled with stuff. You go into the attic, it's filled with stuff. No space on the main floor is lacking stuff. You go into the basement area, and it's more stuff. Our society is filled, though, with restlessness. David's secret to contentment is found in that opening verse. The Lord is my shepherd. I've never studied Hebrew, so if I pull out something from Hebrew, I need to get some pretty simple helps. I do understand, though, that as you look at that first verse in Psalm 23 and verse 1, he expresses the point with the present tense. It's not the past. The Lord was my help, and I appreciated that for a while, and then I got rid of him. I dumped God. It's not expressed for the future. I want the Lord to be my helper at some future point in time. Maybe when things get bad, when things get dangerous, when I stand before him in judgment. No. David said the Lord is right now, present tense, ongoing action. He is my help day in and day out. You see, for David, having the Lord as a shepherd was something that was really significant. He could have said the Lord is the shepherd for the world at large. He didn't say that. David, as he looked at his life, he saw God as his shepherd. He saw God in terms of someone who would watch over him. David saw God as being the one who was going to preserve him and keep him and save him. A commentator on the psalm said, the heart of the unsaved is never satisfied. I believe that. But in contrast to that kind of heart, the heart of the righteous dwells in the palace of contentment. In the very first verse of Psalm 23, we find a very clear and a very distinct choice. Do we want a life which is filled with stuff, more stuff, year after year, Christmas after Christmas, Black Friday after Black Friday, and have a heart which can never be satisfied? Or do we want a life which is relatively unconcerned about stuff and filled with contentment? Someone who hears that says, well, hey, I want both. That's the American dream for me. Thanksgiving is just around the corner. I've got my Christmas list. I'm all lined up for Black Friday, and these are all the things that I want, and I'm sure that I'm going to be happy for the rest of this year. Many want that. A lot of people, if they're not willing to publicly say that sentiment, they're thinking that privately. But both of those stated choices are not possible choices. Jesus, you may remember from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, he talked about God and riches or God and possessions. And he said they can't both occupy the same place in life. One has to take precedence. One has to be our master. If we want a life which is filled with stuff more and more and more, our life cannot be right with God. We can talk about God. We can flirt with the idea of God. We can pray to God. We can own a copy of his word. We can read that, maybe even study that at sometimes. But if we allow our life to be centered on stuff, we're guilty of idolatry. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. God cannot be, he will not be our shepherd. Now we can say that we're thankful all day long, but at the end of the day, our words do not match our actions. Stuff needs to be seen as stuff. Stuff wears out. Stuff gets lost. Stuff loses its value. And as time passes, sometimes days, weeks, months, or maybe even years, that stuff does not seem to be as important. If we are willing to let stuff be in the stuff category, then as we look at Psalm 23, God offers to us something. And here's what David said. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. At least four key words stand out in these two verses. The first being makes. And then we have leads, restores, and guides. If David wrote this psalm when he was a young man, his life was likely filled with activity. As we look at our time, one of the things that many people want, whether they're in the younger years or the later years, one of the items that many want would be some form of rest. There are some people, maybe this is you, maybe it's not you, maybe it's somebody else in the household, or maybe, somebody you know. They fly out of bed in the morning, and then it's not long before they fly down the driveway. Maybe they're running down the driveway to catch the school bus, or maybe they're racing out of the driveway because they're going to be late for work, something like that. And as you think about that kind of life, and you contrast that with Psalm 23, what do you find David talking about? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm interested in the green pastures. I'm interested in the still waters. I'm interested in the restoration of my soul. All of those items sound pretty peaceful, pretty tranquil. A life which is filled with the I want, I'm going to get, I'm seeking to acquire, that may look like the green pasture, but it's really the green eye of envy. Having an I want attitude to so many seems like it's going to be the way to peace and prosperity and joy. But thousands of years have gone by, and it's been shown time after time that that is the path of dissatisfaction. The soul cannot be restored by stuff. But that's what a lot of people think. Contentment. As we look at Psalm 23, it comes through righteousness. Loving God, seeking God, following God is the true path to contentment. And it works. It's worked for a long time. That is a very simple truth. But I submit that it is a truth that a lot of people either ignore or they do not believe. David, as I said, we believe he wrote this psalm. And if he wrote this psalm when he was a shepherd, consider the job that he had during those years. Shepherds are not people who have the best jobs in the world. They smell like sheep. If you're a shepherd, you stink. If you're a shepherd, you are not an elite member of society. If you are a shepherd, I think it's true now, it certainly would have been true in ancient times, you have a job which is not going to be the highest paying job in the world. In fact, you're probably going to be paid something like minimum or sub-minimum wage. But you know, as we think about contentment, it's a strange thing in some ways. A person who is truly content can be content in any job that they have. It may not be the best working conditions. It may not be something that's going to pay you a lot of money. We might make a lot less money than others. In fact, the job that we have, it may be a job that we don't really like. We would prefer a different job. And maybe we have a job which is a temporary job, or maybe it's a job which is an entry-level job. But in many respects, a job is like stuff. It really doesn't matter when it comes to contentment. Satisfaction can be found in employment, because employment is not the key to contentment. True contentment, as we think about the 23rd Psalm, it is not based on the earthly circumstances that we have. In fact, as you look at this psalm, as you look down in verse 4, David talked about the valley of the shadow of death. A lot of people, I think, misread that. There's some people who they think that they're walking in the valley of the shadow of death, but that's not what David says. He doesn't say in the valley. He says it's through the valley. And then, as you look at how some read this psalm, they might say, it's the valley of death. No, it's not the valley of death. David says it is the shadow of death. For the Christian, for the child of God, even death, when it comes to the end of our life, even that, David, as he looked on that, he said that's nothing more than a shadow. Death is not a house. I think a lot of people look at death as a house. That's where we're going to go and that's where we spend our time. No. Death is nothing like that. Death is more like a porch. A porch that leads into an eternal home. For the person who is, though, wrapped up in this life, for the person who's seeking the contentment through things, death is likely a terrifying act. A lot of people who are wrapped up in this life, they're so bothered by death, they don't want to give any thought to it. They don't want to plan for it. But the Bible teaches that death comes. It comes to all. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. And when that time comes, it's game over. It is time up. The time has come to cash in the chips, so to speak. But you know, for the Christian, for the person who wasn't all about life and stuff, the person who was thinking about godly contentment, that person is going to be fine. If we live, that's okay. If we die, that's all right. We still win. Christian contentment is great enough that David says we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and have no fear. We can be content and we can be confident where we are. Now, as we go through life, someone says, I sure wish my circumstances were different. That's probably true for most people. They may wish that they were taller instead of shorter, or shorter instead of taller. There are some people who may wish that they weighed more, or they may weigh less. There may be some people who wish that they lived in that country instead of this country. There might be some people who wish that they were less prominent rather than more prominent, or vice versa. There might be some people who wish that they had more when it comes to material goods. But whatever our circumstances, whoever we are, we can find contentment. You see, David knew, Psalm 23 and verse 4, that God was going to be with him, God was going to comfort him, and God was going to see him through this life and beyond. This psalm ends with some information about dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. But before we come to that point, we find some information in verse 5. David here spoke about his enemies. In the near future, if we have any Thanksgiving plans for this week, a table will likely be prepared for us. Our nation, of course, has that annual holiday, which is referred to as Thanksgiving. The table that David had in mind is unique. But I like us to think about a table in terms of Thanksgiving. Have you ever thought about having Thanksgiving with an enemy? Have you ever had Thanksgiving with an enemy? Imagine eating Thanksgiving with not just an enemy, but envision eating Thanksgiving with an enemy who wants to kill you, an enemy who wants to take your life. David had such contentment, such peace with God, that he said he could eat at a table with his enemies, or have that table spread before him as enemies were present. Again, we don't know exactly when David penned these words, if he penned them early in life. Time did come when he had some powerful and deadly enemies later in life. And I'd like to think that David, if he penned this psalm in those early years, he continued to have. He continued to find that contentment throughout his life. We do know, especially from that fourth period of his life, that contentment in his life was challenged. But here's a man. A man who God said is after my heart. He is headed in the same direction as I am in many respects. David had learned to look to God. He'd learned to trust God. He'd learned to have his hopes built around God. And he was someone who found contentment. As we now come to a time of year which puts a lot of attention on the physical things of this life, and as we come to a time of year when a new year is going to be here before we know it, are we someone, as this year becomes almost one that we close the book on, someone who has found contentment, not in the things of this world, but in Christ and his righteousness? Or maybe as a young person, someone who is in the middle years, or maybe someone who has spent several years on this earth, and we, in our life, we're still looking for that contentment. And we've been looking for it, perhaps, through stuff. We thought, if I can get this, I'll be happy, I'll be content. And well, I achieve that, and if only I can have this, and then I can have this, and then I can have this, I'm going to be satisfied. I'm finally going to be fulfilled. If so, walk away with this lesson. Contentment will never be found in the world. It's not there. It's not there. And one reason it's not there is that whatever you find, whatever you acquire, it can rust out, wear out, be lost, be stolen. A dozen different things can happen to it. If you're searching through contentment, or for it through travel, recreation, spending money, having fun, you're not going to find it. There's only one path to it. And David identified that path long, long ago. If you found that path, be thankful for it. Be thankful for it today. Be thankful for it when Thanksgiving comes. And be thankful for it every single day and week throughout the year. If you've not found that path to contentment, it's still available. And now it's available through Christ. In fact, we might say it's enhanced through Christ. Someone says, I want that. What's required of me? Well, God says, first of all, you've got to have faith. You've got to believe, not only in Christ, but believe that this way is truly the best and the right way. To have that contentment, you can't continue to live in the way that's failing you. That's why the Bible says repentance is necessary. Someone says, I'm willing to do those two things. Are you willing to confess that Christ is not only the Son of God, But he is the path, the way to contentment. Someone says yes. I'm willing to believe. I'm willing to repent. I'm willing to confess. How about disconnecting from that life which was not satisfactory? The Bible says that's possible. A person is baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27, to arise and walk in the newness of life, Romans 6 and verse 4. Part of that new life, in addition to having sins forgiven, is finding contentment. Those green pastures, and then ultimately, fellowship with God in eternity. The path is there, it's easy to follow, and it works every single time. Are we on that path now, every day, and are we truly thankful for it? If not, and we can help you this morning in some way, will you let us know what your need is as we stand and sing the selected song?